Good morning, everyone. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to present my data. So I will start with the introduction. It has long been known that growing oocytes progressively acquire the ability to develop as embryo. So, for example, oocytes obtained from these follicles are not competent to develop as embryo, whereas oocytes obtained from these follicles are competent to develop as embryo. However, the molecular pieces of its competence remains poorly understood. So what the oocyte needs to acquire to develop as embryo, this is a big question, but it has been speculated that mitochondria DNA copy number may determine the quality of the oocyte or its competence. So, but the main question is, the main question is that what controls the mitochondria DNA copy number during oocyte growth? So generally, this is a basic fact I'm sure everyone is familiar with. Mitochondria are the major cells major generator of ATP, play a primary role in cellular energy metabolism. They possess their own multi-copy genome, and they are polyploid with up to several thousand copies of their genome per cell. So why the study of the mitochondria is so important? For the first reason is that the mitochondria are maternally transmitted, so paternal mitochondria is almost never passed on to progeny, so the embryo inherit the mitochondria from the oocytes. The second reason is that it has been reported that mitochondria does not accumulate during early embryogenesis. So that meaning that the embryo inherits, as I said, the mitochondria from the oocytes. And in each cell division, the mitochondria DNA distributed to the total cells, which they have now, which we have now less mitochondria per cell, as it's shown here with different grade of color. But the total level of the mitochondria remains stable until around the time of implantation, mitochondria DNA resume accumulation again. So this suggests that the oocyte should have enough stock of mitochondria DNA copy number to support early embryonic development. However, the mitochondria DNA accumulation, the pattern of the mitochondria DNA accumulation during oocyte hasn't been addressed in details yet. So also the question of what controls mitochondria DNA copy number during this time hasn't been answered yet. So my objectives are define the timing of mitochondrial DNA accumulation during oocyte growth and determine the molecular mechanism of mitochondrial DNA accumulation during this period. So my strategy in a big picture, we collect oocyte, measure the oocyte diameter, and then purify the DNA from individual oocytes, quantify mitochondrial DNA using real-time PCR. And here is the first result. What we found here, we established the pattern of the mitochondrial DNA accumulation. As you can see here, we plotted the mitochondrial DNA copy number against oocyte diameter, and each dot represents single oocytes. It appears that the mitochondrial DNA copy number is variable among oocytes. However, overall, the mitochondrial DNA steadily accumulates during oocyte growth in vivo. So another question, another interesting point came up. What happens to the fully grown oocytes? Do they accumulate more mitochondrial DNA or what? So to address this question, briefly I will explain. There is an initial population of oocyte, initial wave population of oocyte that grow synchronously, and this takes about 3 weeks in mice. So the oocytes reach full size or become fully grown at early antral follicle, which are around day 18 in mice. So what happens next is that the follicle continue to grow, but the oocytes stop growing. So meaning that the oocyte from this day, day 18 or day 24, we have no difference between this follicle or that follicle in the oocyte. So what we did, we isolated the oocyte from day 18, fully grown oocyte, and also fully grown oocyte from day 24, and we looked at the mitochondrial DNA copy number. So here what we found, the first graph you can see that we have the similar size to confirm that we have the same size of the both group, day 18 and 24. And when we looked at the mitochondrial DNA copy number, we found there is no difference in the mitochondrial DNA copy number in both groups. And this suggests that the mitochondrial DNA accumulation stops in fully grown oocytes. Another point to confirm this, we looked at the mitochondrial DNA copy number in fully grown oocyte at GV stage and the subsequent stage, or the last stage of oogenesis during maturation. So we looked at GV and M2, just the M2 stage is just prior to fertilization. So here to confirm the same that we have the same size of the oocyte at the time of isolation, and then we looked at the mitochondrial DNA copy number, and again we found no difference in the mitochondrial DNA copy number. And this is as well suggest that mitochondrial DNA does not accumulate during oocyte maturation. So back again to our diagram, now we know that the mitochondrial DNA accumulate during oocyte growth, as is shown here with different color, the lighter the lower number, the amount of mitochondrial DNA. And then what happened is when the oocyte stop growth, the mitochondrial DNA does not accumulate. And then we looked carefully to this curve, and we found this interesting thing that when the oocyte is growing, the mitochondrial DNA accumulates. And when the oocyte stops growth, the mitochondrial DNA does not accumulate. And the same case in the embryo. When the embryo increases in size, the mitochondrial level remains stable. When the embryo begins to grow again, the mitochondrial DNA resumes accumulation. So this is may suggest, and therefore we hypothesize that mitochondrial DNA accumulation is dependent on oocyte growth. So to test our hypothesis, first we establish our in vitro culture system. We use 12-day-old mice to collect granulosa oocyte complexes. We culture them in collagen membrane for 7 days, and then at day 7 we remove the oocytes and look at the growth and the mitochondrial DNA copy number. And what we found is that the oocyte grow in culture, and also the mitochondria copy number increases as well. And this is validate our in vitro culture system, and at least this experiment was repeated 3 times. And this is one representative case. Then we wanted to test our hypothesis. We want to inhibit the oocyte growth. We inhibit the oocyte growth in 2 ways. First, we inhibit PI3 kinase pathway using the drug. The PI3 kinase specific drug. We added that to the culture, and then remove the oocyte, and then we look at the growth again and mitochondrial DNA copy number. And what we found is that this shows two important points. First, that the drug inhibits oocyte growth, as you can see. However, the mitochondrial DNA continue to accumulate. So this suggests that PI3 kinase activity is required for oocyte growth, but not for mitochondrial DNA accumulation. So a second way to inhibit oocyte growth, that we remove the granulosa cells, and then we looked at to the growth and the mitochondrial DNA copy number. Here what we did, just collect the GOCs and then remove the granulosa cells, culture them for 7 days, the denuded oocyte, and then remove the oocyte, look at the growth and the mitochondrial DNA copy number. So the result again came to be consistent with the previous result, that the absence of granulosa cells as expected inhibit oocyte growth. However, also the mitochondrial DNA copy number continue to accumulate in this case. So this suggests that the granulosa cells are required for oocyte growth but not for mitochondrial DNA accumulation. So again, we went on to test another pathway. We chose this time to inhibit MTOR pathway using rapamycin. MTOR pathway, it's been shown that is required for cell size and growth, and we use the specific drug to inhibit the MTOR pathway. We add this drug to the culture. We looked again, remove the oocyte, look at the growth and the mitochondrial DNA copy number. And what we found this time, unexpectedly, that the drug did not inhibit oocyte growth, and the mitochondrial DNA continued to accumulate. So this is kind of unexpected results. What we looked at, that maybe we said that drug is not functioning or it's not working, but Western blood analysis, we looked at one of the downstream target protein of the MTOR pathway, and we found that the rapamycin completely inhibit the protein. So this is simply suggests that MTOR activity is not required for oocyte growth or mitochondrial DNA accumulation. And then next, we went on to look at the ATP content during oogenesis as a functional test of mitochondrial DNA using luciferin luciferase assay. And what we found is that ATP content in growing oocytes, which obtains from 12-day and 15-day, is higher than fully grown oocytes obtained from 18 and 21 day. And as the oocyte went to the maturation step, also ATP decreased. So at the beginning, this suggests clearly that ATP content is not associated with mitochondrial DNA accumulation during oogenesis, or maybe also suggests that the mitochondria, that the growing oocyte has the most active mitochondria during this time and then become less active and less. So my conclusion is that mitochondrial DNA steadily accumulates during oocyte growth in vivo and in vitro. When oocyte growth stops, mitochondrial DNA accumulation stops. However, mitochondrial DNA accumulation and activity during oogenesis are independent of oocyte growth. I would like to acknowledge my supervisor, Dr. Hugh Clark. Special thanks to Chen Yang and Dan Arnold, my lab members, committee members, and funding agency. And thank you for all of you.
Thank you very much. And so this paper is open to questions.
Anahita, animal science from McGill University. It's a very nice talk.
Thank you.
I just want to know that the mitochondrial accumulation that starts a little bit before blastocyst stage.
You mean the replication?
Yeah. So they start accumulating again a little bit before blastocyst.
Okay.
So if it is species, this, I guess this could variate among different species, for example, in porcine, in bovine. And also, I'd like to know if this replication doesn't match with genomic activation.
With genomic activation?
Yes.
Okay, the first question, the first part of your question, this is my difference between species, but in general, they have like the accumulation of mitochondrial DNA start around the time of implantation, but they found in porcine oocyte that they started earlier at morial stage, maybe, the accumulation, but in mice and in human, they started at around implantation. For the genomic activation, I'm not sure if this is associated with the genomic activation, but we know that there is a big or interaction between the mitochondrial DNA and the nuclear DNA in terms of replication and transcription. So it might be there is a relationship. But as far as I know that, I don't know up to this point.
Okay.
Thank you. There's
we're going to have an announcement.
Okay.
Hi, Ava Schlisser, McGill University. Dr. Erhel's laboratory. It's a constant debate in our lab about ATP and where it's coming from because I study embryogenesis, specifically organogenesis stage. So a lot of literature show that mitochondria is not even developed at gestational day 9. It only begins at that stage where you have upregulation of electron transport chain genes and protein translation. So where is this ATP coming from? If it's not coming from the mitochondria, where do you, if you see an increase in mitochondrial DNA, what can you speculate a mechanism? Can you, what is it doing there?
You mean that the source of ATP during this time?
Yes. If it's not associated with ATP production, then what, do you look at any genes that are translated?
In mitochondrial DNA, no, I didn't look at it, but most of the ATP produced during oocyte growth comes from or produced by the mitochondria because the other pathway is not active during this time, like glycolysis pathway or pentose phosphatase pathway. So most of the ATP produced in this time by the mitochondria. But why is decreased? You mean like maybe it could be that the mitochondria become less active during this time. That's why the ATP is decreased, but they still accumulate. Maybe it's not active to produce ATP, but there's still a regulation that keeps them or controls them to replicate and make more mitochondrial DNA.
Well, see, that's our question. If the mitochondria is not matured at this point and the ETC proteins are not present, then how could you say that ATP is being produced within the mitochondria?
Because it's been shown that the glycolysis pathway and other pathway is very low and not active during this time. So most of it's most likely that most of the ATP produced this time is from the mitochondrial DNA and not from other pathways.
Okay, thank you.
So thank you all the speakers, and we have the poster sessions in the other room.